Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to continue on anchoring our month-long celebration, even though we've kind of carried it over into the new year. We're going to deal with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his first coming, as it relates to the coming of the Magi to visit him. Now, the Magi did not come and see Jesus for probably at least a year and a half after Christ was born. Sometime after the stable event, when Jesus was born, when the town began to clear away after the taxes were paid, Joseph rented a small house there in Bethlehem, and there they stayed. Fortunately, he was a carpenter, and so he was able to ply his trade while he was there for that window, that period of time. But far away in the east, some of the princes of Persia, God had been doing a great work in their heart. And I'm going to suggest unto you that that work had been going on for probably at least 450 years. You see, the great prophet Daniel had placed into the heart, and we'll look at this in just a moment in great detail, had placed in the heart of some of the great Persian princes, the wise men, the magi of that particular country, that God would send his Messiah, and he would send that Messiah to Jerusalem. And obviously, to the children of Israel, this Messiah would come, and he would be the Savior for the world. Remember the announcement that was given to the shepherds? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this was going to be a message to what? All peoples, peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. These Persian princes, having a message orally transmitted to them, were hanging on, looking for the coming of Messiah. Now, I want you to think about that. How effective was the message in their hearts to have been transmitted generation after generation for at least 450 years, that when Christ came on the scene, they were still looking. They were still anticipating. And this would have been without the temple. This would have been without the Old Testament scriptures. This would have been without the prophets. This would have been without the preachers. This would have been without the scribes. And yet they were still what? They were still looking. They were still looking for Christ because Daniel had handed them a message. Do you know what? Our expectations control our conduct. Let me ask you an important question. What are your expectations from God for 2017? What are your expectations? Because I'm going to suggest unto you that your expectations biblically are going to govern your conduct, are going to govern the way that you live your life. Let's look at the account. Matthew chapter 2. And I want to read for you verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. For those of you that are Bible students, that comes from the Greek word magos, which is literally translated from the Aramaic magi. Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, meaning that the star was not in the east. They actually, while they were in the east, they saw the star, and the star was to the west over Jerusalem. And are come to worship him. Verse 3, and when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And verse 6 is a quote from Micah 5:2, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah. Out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do believe that our biblical expectations in 2017 will govern our behavior, will govern our conduct. Tune our hearts and minds as we begin this new year to anticipate your great work of grace, a lasting work like we saw you do in the Magi. Lord, we need your wisdom. And in 2017, I pray that we would be found exercising biblical wisdom like the Magi did, the wise men from the East. Lord, thank you that as you teach us to be wise, you will always teach us to seek you through your word and through obedience. Bless and give me the ability to share this message accurately so that your spirit might change our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who were these wise men that came from the East? Well, they are the old Persian wise men. Jeremiah chapter 39, listen very carefully because I'm going to plow through some very difficult names and then I'm going to give you a little Aramaic word study. Jeremiah chapter 39 verse 3 and verse 13 says this, "And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in." And why am I taking you back there? Because obviously Daniel was taken captive as a young boy in probably around 600 BC to the area of Babylon. Later on, Babylon would be overcome by the Medo-Persian Empire. And now these Medo-Persians, which are literally going to be in charge over there, obviously Daniel is going to also go into their kingdom and make a great impact upon Darius the Mede and obviously amongst all the wise men, the astrologers and soothsayers at that particular time. Jeremiah is a contemporary of Daniel. And so he's writing about the goings on at that time. So in Jeremiah 39, he says, "And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer and Shamgar-Nebo and Shar-Shechem and Rab-Saris and Nergal-Sharezer, Rab-Maj with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon." Now, I want you to look there at that last description. It says Rab-Maj. I want you to hang on to that in your mind for just a second, because it's going to be absolutely critical to understanding why the Magi left the East and traveled all of those 600 miles over to where Jesus was. It's going to be critical to understand that term, Rab-Maj. Verse 13, "So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebuzaradan, Rab-Saris, and Nergal-Sharezer," notice again our term, "Rab-Maj, and all the king of Babylon's princes." When Daniel was taken captive, he was brought up to Babylon, and under Nebuchadnezzar, he became the leader of the children of Israel, which was leader also of the Magi that were there, the wise men, the astrologers, and the counselors. And why was he elevated to that position? Because he was able to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. Later on, he goes into the Medo-Persian Empire. And again, because of his great wisdom, because of the skill that God had given him, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 and the following, it's described that Daniel had this great wisdom, this great ability to project and proclaim the word of God. Now he has ascended himself. He's worked all the way up to the position in the description of not only the Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian administration, but when the Medo-Persians took over the country of Babylon, again, Daniel was placed up in the position as described here of Rab-Maj. Now you see the suffix of that Maj, that is actually in the Aramaic term for Magi, that are going to designate a group of people that are going to exist clear up and down. I don't know how long they lasted through antiquity. I didn't look that up. But the Magi obviously are going to be there clear up until the time of Christ. Daniel is going to communicate to them as the Magi, "Listen, the most important thing is that you trust God." Now, had God demonstrated his power through Daniel? Had God demonstrated his greatness through Daniel in interpreting the dreams and preserving the kingdom, and so that Daniel was able to have a great audience with them?
Well, I tell you what I think took place. And this is reading between the lines in history. I really believe that Daniel grabbed all the wise men, the astrologers and the soothsayers, which were involved in all kinds of cultic activity there in Babylon and on into the Medo-Persian Empire. And I believe he taught them as much as he knew of the Word of God. He told them the great prophecies of the Old Testament that Messiah is coming. There is going to be a Savior that's born. And he's going to come to the area of Palestine. And I want you to be watching. I want you to be anticipating this. And long after Daniel had died off the scene, there was another great Persian prince, one of the Magi, that would rise up, and they would preach it to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. And so effectively, so powerfully did Daniel lay the foundations of biblical truth that even though they had no pages of scripture to turn to, even though there was no prophet, there was no priest, there was no temple, there was no place to go to get any of that reinforcement for biblical truth, the message from Daniel was still loud and clear until finally Christ is born in Bethlehem. And a year and a half later, it probably took a long time for word to ultimately reach. And by the way, where was the dispersion of the word that Messiah had come, that truly God had come to visit this earth? Who started that, the dispersion of that information? The shepherds. So through the nomadic people who took care of the herdsmen, all of a sudden it began to spread, and it spread, and it spread to the east until finally it reached the regions of Persia. And finally, the great princes who were saying, we are looking for the Messiah. We are looking for the coming king that is coming. And he's not just going to be king of Israel. He obviously is going to be the savior of the world. Daniel, that great magi, the Rab Mag, the chief magi, he is the one who told us of the coming of these things. And we have been looking all these many, many years. Also, there's a prophecy that took place 1,425 years before this. And that was a prophecy also from a Mesopotamian prophet outside of the realm of Israel. You know him by his name, Balaam. Balaam said that perhaps in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, a sign unto these people that may have carried. So this literally may have been a tradition, an oral tradition in that area for over 1,000 years. Listen to Numbers 24:17. I shall, the words of Balaam under prophecy, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. Balaam was also from that east area of Persia. Could it possibly be true that the prophecies of Balaam had gone down through the Persian princes, the seed organization, the seed people of that, for over 1,000 years. And then finally Daniel steps on the scene and gives them more revelation, gives them more clarity. So now, based on the words of the prophet, clear back Balaam and Jeremiah and Daniel, that now all of this comes together in culmination, that they're literally looking for the coming of Messiah when it finally comes. Well, notice what the Bible says now in Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, there came wise men from the east, the Magi, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Isn't it very interesting? A heathen nation has godly princes who are looking for the king to come to Israel, and they're looking for him because they know he's going to be Messiah. Who missed that sign? Who missed all of that? Isn't it very interesting that Herod has to go to the great scribes and the elders and the leaders of Israel and say, by the way, hey, where is Messiah to be born? And what do they have to do? They have to scratch their head. Well, let me see. Let's dig into the archives. And so they go back in the books and they find out, well, yeah, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Guess who wasn't looking? And guess who really was? Are you looking in 2017? You know, it's always amazing to see where God places people of faith. Isn't it always amazing? I mean, if you were to compass the world at that particular time, where would you expect those to have the menorah? Where would you expect those to have that anticipation of coming Messiah? Oftentimes we think, well, obviously it should be in the church, and you know, the church of that time. It should be in the temple. It should be those amongst the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the groups there. No, as far as I can tell, in Jerusalem, there was only really two key people who were looking, and that was Simeon and Anna. Out of the rest of the rank, who do you find that's really, really looking ardently? And yet God has his people. You see, your expectations define your anticipation and what you're looking for. So the wise men, in verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together and demanded of them, where should Christ be born? Isn't it sad that he didn't know? Isn't it sad that they weren't looking? And yet, what? The Magi, they didn't know it actually, you know, that it was Bethlehem, but they knew the area, didn't they? They had been looking from the east to the west, looking for this to happen. Verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and they go to Micah 5:2, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Please stop for a second. I want you to learn something that is incredibly important. The children of Israel had been given that prophecy 400 years earlier. When had the prophecy been given to the Persian princes? Over 400 years, probably closer to 450 by Daniel. Isn't it very interesting that amongst the heathen Persian princes, the prophecy that was merely given orally to them, no written copy, continued to be a defining theological perspective for these Persian princes for 450 years. And yet for the children of Israel who were given Micah 5:2 in printed form, they let it go. And how soon was it before they paid no attention to the written word of God? You think God's trying to get us to pay attention to the condition of our heart by understanding the account of the coming of the Magi? I think God's trying to say, please, the substance, the content, the faith in your heart will define the direction of the rest of your life. Where are you? So the wandering of the wise men. What happens to them? Look at verse 10. Verse 7. Then when Herod had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, did he want to come and worship him? No. He was concerned about the content of the middle of verse 6, because there's going to come a governor, Greek word hegemon. There's going to come a governor that shall rule his people Israel. And what was Herod doing at that particular time? That's right. He was a Moabite. He was not even of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was an Edomite. And now he had usurped the position over ruling Israel. And he was very much afraid that this Messiah that would come would do what? Would steal his position as Herod and take over the rulership. And his connection with the power structure in Rome would all be swept away. So let me know in the end of verse 8 that bring me word also that I may come and worship him. Listen, did he have any intent? Do you see the different hearts that are being revealed in this passage of Scripture? We have the Persian princes, the Magi, that travel over 600 miles to come and to worship this Messiah that they have been looking for hundreds of years. The faith in their heart took them that great distance. And by the way, there was more than three. The entourage was probably at least 50 in this group. We think of them as three because there's three gifts. But there was, believe me, there was much more to it than that. There was a large entourage that came because they were ushered immediately into the presence of Herod. And they obviously would have needed many to protect them, because there were many robbers and difficult places that they had to traverse in that 600 miles. Notice the next hearts that are there, the cold heart of those that are in Jerusalem, the theologically astute, who yet had no heart to it, who understood and had the copies of Scriptures, and who read them and delivered them unto the people without what? Without faith. Is that going on in our nation today? Are there preachers preaching from pulpits today that are proclaiming the Word of God without faith? Paul warns of this. And in the last days this would come. Teachers having itching ears, who stand up and give great oration, but do not believe the very word that they're proclaiming. May God grant unto Berean Baptist Church a preacher always in this pulpit
who is like the Persian princes who believes the word of God. May God have mercy on us. Go and search diligently in verse 8, and bring me word again that I may worship him also. And then there are those who worship God for purely self-serving means of manipulation, power, and money. And they still are afoot. Would you pray with me something that I have been praying? God, protect Berean Baptist Church from tares. Tares look like wheat, smell like wheat, act like wheat, but they're not wheat. And the Bible says Satan comes and sows them in the churches. Pray that we would be protected from tares and from those that are false. Verse 9, and when they heard the king, they departed. And immediately when they depart, there's something absolutely wonderful that takes place. Look at the next thing that happens. They get outside of Jerusalem. And by the way, it's a very short trip, 5 to 7 miles down to Bethlehem. And they get out, and the star, which they saw all the way from the east, now begins to be just a very localized, personal, directive thing. As I shared with you before, Johannes Kepler, the father of the study of planetary motion, estimated in his mathematical skills that a temporary star appeared at Jerusalem in history at this particular time. But the answers in Genesis are some really cool writings on that. So they depart, and the star in the middle of verse 9, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over, literally over the house where the young child was. Now we're going to transition. We're going to see the worship of the wise men. But who are they coming to see? It says in verse 11, and when they were come in the house, notice that they're in a house now. It's been a year and a half at least. They're not in the stable anymore. This has been a period of time. But unfortunately, they're not going to be able to stay in that house very long. You know what's going to happen? Joseph is going to be warned of God in a dream that Herod is going to come. And because the wise men aren't going to return back to Jerusalem and tell Herod exactly where the Christ child is, Herod is literally going to be so mad that he's going to send forth his troops down, and they're going to kill all the children 2 years old and under. They're just going to go in there and butcher them in that particular area. And the prophecy will be fulfilled. Rachel weeping for her children because they are not. But Jesus will have already left. And Joseph, he could not work, so he needed a great provision from God. He's going to flee down into Egypt for a period of time until that Herod dies. And literally, after that Herod, who's in control of the whole area, dies, is going to be divided amongst his three sons, of which Archelaus is going to take over that area, who also would have killed Jesus. And so that's why when they flee Egypt, they're not going to return back to Bethlehem. They're going to skirt that, and they're going to go all the way back up to Nazareth, where they left in the first place. And that's where they're going to resettle. But while they're down there in Egypt, they're going to have financial provision, right? Where's God going to meet the need? Oh, man. God is going to touch the hearts of those who are looking and loving their Messiah and desire to worship them. And he's going to bring some Persian princes from the east. And they're going to travel those 600 miles, and they're going to come, and I'm going to suggest unto you that they had a significant amount of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the donkey that carried Mary, I'm sure, is going to be added to, and there's going to be other animals that are going to be linked together. And when Joseph flees to protect Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ down into Egypt, he literally goes a wealthy man. And when he finds himself down into Egypt, that rents them a beautiful home, he's probably not going to have a job down there, but the entire time he's there, till he goes all the way back up to Nazareth and reworks his job as a carpenter, the provision from the Persian princes, the Magi, is going to be there for them that entire time. You see, God writes this account. Why? So we can look back in history and say, oh, this is really cool. Look at that. The Magi came and everything. No, that same God is saying something to you. Seek the Lord like the Magi, and God will do these things for you. Why else do we have this record? Is it just kind of neat, interesting history, like reading, hey, here we go, Aaron, an old Louis L'Amour book? No. That's your God in 2017. Are you going to have needs in 2017? Well, where are the needs going to come from? Don't worry about it. God has his people. He has his people. You look around and say, I don't see anybody.
Can you imagine if Joseph would have found out that Herod was going to come and kill the Christ child and you need to flee down into Egypt, and he looks around, oh man, I better find a job, I better find a way, I better find some methodology to meet the needs, to take care of. And God says, no, it's okay. I've got some princes coming from 600 miles away with gold and frankincense and myrrh. They'll load you down with all of these gifts. Well, how on earth would they know? It's okay. I told them about it 450 years ago. 450 years ago. Through my faithful servant Daniel. What has God already got planned for you? What has He already got planned for you? You think once you're born, God said, oh yeah, Ross is down there. Let's see. Well, we better come up with something here, you know? You think that's the way it is? No. The plans God has for you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to suggest unto you Acts 2, 22 and 23, 1 Peter 1. God says that He's known and worked on those plans since before the foundation of the world. He's had you in mind. So the wisdom perspective, what do we need to do? We need to trust Him. So they come, they're directed by God. Look at verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. They're rejoicing already even before they get to Christ. Why are they rejoicing just over the star? Because they're rejoicing in God's attention and direction in their lives. Brothers and sisters, if God does no miracles for you in 2017, that's okay. I want you to rejoice every day of this year that you have God's attention and direction in your life every day. Just rejoice in the common, rejoice in the simple. And then when the great comes along, when the big things come along and the blessings come along and the events come along, which are extraordinary, you can praise and you can thank God. Why? Because your heart is already there in the process of doing that. How many Christians are out there? Well, if God would provide, then I would. How about if living in a condition continually of being grateful for God's provision and direction in your life? And then if God never does bring the big, it's okay. Because His greatness is already recognized and you're already living in light of it. Therein is the wisdom of the Magi, the wisdom of the wise men. In verse 11 it says, and when they were coming to the house, again, I've got one of those wacky minds. I've got to see them coming in the house. Stop for a minute, will you? Just stop. Can you imagine? You've traveled 600 miles. Your people, your predecessors have been looking for this for over 400 years. And all of a sudden, you are the group that gets to go there. And I'm sure that they picked just a handful. Not everybody could go in a house. And so they picked just a handful of the Magi. And there's a knock at the door. And Joseph comes to the door and said, can I help you? Whoa! You're from out of town, aren't you? I mean, number one, you can tell that these folks aren't dressed like the folks that are typically there in Bethlehem. These are Persian princes. These are extremely wealthy men. Behind it is an entourage, probably a group of soldiers that were sent along to protect them. But you open the door and there's maybe at least 50 of them. There's a contingent of Persian princes dressed in their princely garbs. And they're standing at the door of this house. And you're in the little dusty street, some little cheap place in the backside of Bethlehem, and all of a sudden they said, hello. God has sent that star. And Joseph, wow. Whoa. That's never been there before. I've been out here. That's never been there before. God sent the star. We have come from the east and we are come to worship Him. And Mary's been keeping all these things and pondering them in her heart. She peeks back and says, come in. I see them first coming in and seeing the Christ child, a little year and a half old child. Certainly not in a manger anymore. Probably in some little small bed that Joseph had built because he was a carpenter. They bring the young toddler. They bring him into the presence and said, here he is. it's hard not to weep. And I'm sure it would have been hard for them. The fulfillment. This is what Daniel told us about. This is what Daniel said would be coming. He is here. Our Lord. Our Messiah. Our King. May we worship Him with an offering. Well, sure. Joseph steps back and they begin to bring in the load off of the camels of gold and frankincense and myrrh. God, what are you doing? Isn't it very interesting that the rich, the powerful, the magnificent of Israel paid no attention to the coming of Christ? And yet some of the most powerful, the most prestigious, and the most rich on the planet had to travel 600 miles. But they saw it because they had a heart of faith. And it says there in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother. And they did what all of us need to do. They did what all of us need to be anxious to do on a daily basis. They fell down before the Lord. You fall down before the Lord every day. That may not mean that you get on your knees and you pray every day. And you don't literally have to get on your knees to fall down before the Lord. But they fell down and they worshiped Him. Meaning that they bowed their hearts in humility and in recognition of who the Christ child was. He was their Savior. He was their Lord. He's Messiah and He's also God. How do they know He's God? Okay, this afternoon I invite any of you to get one of those stars up there to stand right up over the church. I'm waiting. Who else could put the star above the house but... You get the picture? They got the picture. They got it loud and clear. We are come in to worship the 18-month-old child who put the star over the house. That's who we're here to worship. And so they bowed down. Is that what you do? You fell down? Do you fall down every day and worship Him? You see, that's what God wants us to do in 2017. God wants us to fall down in our hearts and worship Him every day. To give Him our best. To give Him, yes... Financially, yes, but so beyond that, our hearts, our attention, His adoration, true and genuine worship. Fall down and worshiped Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. But I promise you, as God looked down from heaven, He didn't say, oh, wow, look at gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah, that makes you smell good. We burn the other one for incense, and the other one we use as paving material. When God looked down from heaven, He, yes, was appreciative of their gifts. But He took great joy in that they gave their hearts. That's why Paul tells us that when you give an offering, give of yourself first. Give of yourself first. God will bless you for the finances that you give, but God really wants your heart first. And they gave the gold and the frankincense and myrrh. And finally, it was time for them to leave. And being warned of God and them in a dream that they should not return unto Herod. Isn't it very interesting that God is still working in their hearts? Don't go back and tell Herod because Herod wants to kill the Christ child. They departed back into their own country another way. Do you see what I see right there? They didn't come to Jerusalem and say, well, hey, well, while we're in town, let's go see the Dead Sea and the temple and let's go see. No, they had seen everything in Palestine they wanted to see when they saw the Christ child. What do you really want to see on earth? What is really important for you to see? Well, there's nothing wrong with going on vacation. There's nothing wrong with seeing stuff. There isn't. But make sure that those aren't the idols of your heart. Make sure that the focus of your heart is to see the Christ child and to worship Him. For we have seen His star in the east and we are come to what? We are come to worship Him. You see, our expectations definitely control our conduct. But when you get there, the great Persian princes came to Jerusalem. They found this little Christ child there, lying there in the bed. And truly, I think as far as circumstance and situation, what would you have expected to have found if you were a prince of Persia? One of the Magi. What would you have expected to find? I'll tell you what I would have expected. The Christ child, the Messiah, has just been born in Jerusalem. Don't you think that he should have been at the temple? Don't you think that the king should have been, you know, he should have been in the most palatial area there? And all of a sudden they go to the little town of Bethlehem because of the star, and here's this ramshackled house in this little, poor little town of Bethlehem, and Mary and Joseph are there, and you find that? Well, guess what? What do wise men do when the circumstances of earth begin to frustrate them? What do they always do? Well, when wise men find disappointment, they always look for God. In verse 11, they fell down and they worshiped Him. It wasn't the setting. It wasn't the circumstance. It was the person. When wise men find disappointment, they have learned to offer their very best to God and not to turn aside. They offered Him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the best of Arabia. And obviously they could see it was at a place where it was greatly needed. And when wise men find disappointment with the things of this earth, you know what they do? They seek direction from God. In verse 12, they were warned of God in a dream. Don't go back by Herod, but go directly back to Persia. You see, they made the trip to give Jesus much more than the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They made the trip to show Him that they had given Him their hearts. What does God want from you in 2017? This demonstrates the fact that what He wants is your heart. He wants your heart. He came to this earth and shed His precious blood that you could be born again into the family of God. Did you like the gifts you got for Christmas? Would you like to give God a great gift in 2017? Fall down and worship Him every day. Give Him your heart. Father, thank You for sending Christ. Help us to be like the Magi and be wise. Help us to give You our hearts. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, perhaps you're today and you say, you know, in 2016 I didn't always live that way, and I know I need to refocus. I know 2017 needs to be different. And I am going to make in my heart right now a decision to continue to decide every day of 2017, God enabling me, His grace strengthening me, to fall down in my heart of hearts and worship Him. I want to give Him my heart and to live for Him like the Magi did in 2017. Would you slip up your hand? Yeah, that's what I need to do. Amen. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you. Father, strengthen Your children to live like the Magi, looking always to their Savior, and be willing to give of their best, their heart, and to give to Thy honor and glory. Bless Your people with faith and faithfulness in 2017. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Tim.